Friends, I'm turning this morning to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I'm reading from verses 26 to 27. This is our Lord and Savior speaking. Jesus answered them and said, "Very, very, I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracle, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth into everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." And our title for thinking this last day of the year this morning is, "Why do you seek Christ?" The question is, why do you seek Christ? And we ask this question because of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said here. He said, "I say unto you, ye seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." So here we see that people seek Christ for wrong reasons, not for the right, not for the purpose for which he came into this world. Because he came into this world to save us from captivity. Because of the fall of our forefather Adam and Eve, we had fallen into captivity. We were now under the power of sin and Satan and this world. The purpose of him coming is to deliver us from that state and give us eternal life. But these people came unto Christ because of the food that he gave them, not of the miracles. Because if it was of the miracles, there's no greater miracle than to turn a sinner into a saint. And I've never heard people, especially those who go to prayer camps and healing centers and so on, never heard anybody giving a testimony that when I got there, I got salvation. Never. It's always, when I got there, I got my visa. When I got there, I had my husband, I had my wife. When I got there, I had my business booming. So people see Christ for various and for wrong reasons. And especially for those who seek Christ for worldly gain, this is a warning to them. If you are seeking him not for the purpose for which he came, but for other purposes, then you have really missed the way. He said, "You seek me because of the loaves that you were filled with." The background to this story, Jesus had spent an entire day teaching the multitude. There were a lot of people that Christ was teaching. And after a long day, and they were in the wilderness, and they were hungry, so Jesus didn't know, he didn't really want to send them away. Meanwhile, there was no food, even though he knew that he had power to provide food and everything. So he asked his disciples, "How can we feed all these people in this area, in this wilderness, where there's no food?" And then one of them said, "There's a lad here who has two fishes and five loaves of bread, and this Christ multiplied to feed the entire crowd, and even the leftovers, about 12 baskets of this bread." So the next day, the crowd were looking for Jesus, and then eventually they found him on the other side of the lake, and they asked him how he got there. They were surprised as to how, because they didn't see him in the ship. So they were asking how Christ got there. And instead of Christ telling them how he got there, he gave them this response. That is the verse above. "Very, very, I say unto you, ye seek me not because of the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves." So he told them that they have come because of the food that he had given them. He said, "Rabbi, Rabbi, when did you come?" Well, they had seen the disciples live in the ship, and Christ was not in the ship. So they were wondering how Christ came. But the disciples knew that Christ met them walking on the sea. And throughout the ministry of Christ, people sought him because he performed miracles. But like I've already said, there's no miracle that can be compared with the miracle of turning a sinner into a saint. But people were not seeking him for that. They were seeking him for just the miraculous signs. We know Jesus healed a lot of people. He healed the sick. the lame could walk, the blind could see, and he did so many things. But he did all these things to prove that he has power over them. That's why all the purpose. And he has power over all those things. And then there will be a time when in his kingdom, all these things will not be there. But how do we get there? That is the purpose for which he came. For us to repent from our sins and seek him and be with him. And then we can be assured that we'll be with him in paradise. As he said to the dying thief, that today you'll be with me in paradise, where all these things will be absent. So it is not just the miracles that Christ wanted to perform to show his power, but to show us that he has power over all those things. And also to show God's love for us, that God will always make sure we have what we need, we have good health, and we also need the thing that we live on in this world. What did Christ tell the people when they asked him for miracles in Matthew chapter 16 verse 4 and then Matthew 12 verse 39? He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. See what he said? But no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. What was the sign of Jonah? Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. In the same way, Christ was also going to be in the belly of the earth for 3 days and will come back to life. So this is the greatest miracle, how Christ has come into this world to lay down his life for sinners like us. Friends, if you think of the incarnation deeply about it, you will see that God will not do all these things just for worldly things. No, he did it so that he will be redeemed from the power of sin and to be reconciled unto him. So, if you look at the question that they were asking Christ, how did he get there? They were always thinking just about the miracle, but not for the reason why he came. How do we know the purpose for which Christ came? Let's turn to a few verses. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5 and to verse 11. He said, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. So you see, Christ came to give us eternal life. That is his purpose, to give us eternal life. And there's nothing in this world that can be compared to eternal life. No, I've never seen anybody live for more than 150 years, no matter how rich or how powerful the person was. So this world, everything in this world is limited. It is only Christ who can give eternal life. That is why when a believer dies, Christ said he asleep. He is sleeping. Because the moment the light of this world goes off, the light of the other world comes on. And you are ushered into where Christ is. So he came to give us eternal life. If you go to Matthew chapter 6 verse 33, he said the same thing. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you. Before then, he has mentioned those things that he's talking about. He did not say everything, as people sometimes read this to me, that God says, if you seek him, all other things shall be added unto you. No, he said, these things, and these things we're talking about, the basic things of life, food, shelter, and clothing, and all those things that we need to live in this world, he will give us. But the most important thing is to seek the kingdom, to be born again, have your sins forgiven you, and be reconciled to God. Once you have that, you have everything. I hear some people singing, if I have Christ, I have everything. The everything that he's talking about is not worldly things. He's talking about eternal life, where in future, in heaven, you are going to be you are going to be where he is. And even today, so many ministries settle for the second best, as I've said. Not the kingdom, but the these things is what they seek for. But this is the second best. The best thing is eternal life. Have eternal life first, and he will give you the other ones as bonus. Now we have healing ministries, prayer ministries. As I've already said, there are so many places where you go. You say we are a prayer camp, we are a healing church, we do this and do that and do that. Not on salvation. You will never hear anybody saying, I went to that place and I came back and I was saved. No. And this is very serious. And this is what Christ is talking about. I've read so many churches meetings when I was preparing this message. And it will take us time. Otherwise, I was going to read them to you. Their missions and their vision. And almost all of them didn't talk about salvation. And even if you talk about salvation, about in a different way. Their mission is not to seek eternal life for their people. And friends, this is a very serious thing. We should always know why Christ came into this world. They emphasize, even if they talk about God, it is about God meeting them in their worldly needs. They're taking God as their somebody say like their paracetamol. When they have the pain, they go for it. After the pain, they forget about God. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In verse 27 that we just read, Jesus said that God has set his seal upon his son. So all what God does is through Christ. That is, his seal is upon him. God satisfied that this is his son, the savior of the world. He sent him into this world, the purpose is to save us. And at Jordan, God showed his approval. This is my son. This is him that you should believe. So Christ, friends, let us know that he came purposely to save us from sins and from the power of Satan, from the power of our own selves. And okay, the Yejina so Akasano, Yesu Asimbia, or Kai, Ewa Matthew, Itin Sian, Chimu, Edionunsiani, Edionunsum. Now, Okasa Semi, Ewa, Ebra, na, Infabebe, Dinachi, our car and St. Pan, a show. The Drew Baby, no more, no more, a sesso, and we say a comedy home. Now, if you are in the house, or the Bemo, if you will be sad, the chef will say, now you have a rebellion with the chief comedy, Miss Mepes Memo Marco. Now, and he put the Benya Diane, a dear Mo. And the chef will say, hey, then you have a rebellion here, a hand, you have a funny heifer. No more, no, over a good Hanama, Okuta Budo, a noom, and a into numb fish, me and I used to fabra. Into what is our, if you are near my Yusuno, and I used to shrash. And now, Dima, Nipa, and Pim, 5,000 people. Or Dima, Omina, DMA, Emma, I fear for free one crown, Omina, and can tell me, say, it do me from Brodo, me, no, any fish, me, yes, with me, and my Nipa, when you are eating. Now, Dima, we do, we are no. And another song is called Baby Fufro. It's in the Sphere of Forno, Etna Ship, Efa in Sunoso, Echo. And yesterday, one Tna Ship on 19 in Sunoso, and no call. It's a cold blue horn. Now, if you find a sheer hunter, so who said, and he found a fire or buy. Now, your mama, some day, a domo for some Huani and Sentry, say, he found a yes to fire or buy. No more can't ask them. Yes, when can't you say, be five pollution, they buy. No one was done here, seven, a car, this is a near pass or catch it all. No, can you say, me can you crash your say, Machina Mudina Mohemino, and yes, and Janina me in India, the Mone Bruna Mudima Mudia Momeno, and Nuntina Mamuhem. A mamma who share a near ma, you didn't be asking more, and Chena, I say, Mohisha near ma, oh, die, and only say, Dachi, Ubenya, and Qua, ah, oh, forever and ever. And who asked him, and I can, and I make us say, Cecilia, and sorry, baby, Abbasu, we are Simono. They will be so sorry because I'm sorry, missioner. I said, the boat I have. Over cancer, the brain mission, and I'm on boat I am. We'll be in our cassette. The boat I said, the many penny and quaggy. A typical one is ICGC. He tells you to empower people with the word of God. You see, we don't use the word of God to empower people in to make this world a better. This world is a doomed world. If you are to, you know, if you are to your essay. I know you are young people, but even looking back at life, things have never gotten better. It's always getting worse. And that's what the Bible says. This world, no matter the advancement in technology or whatever, crime is on the increase. Immorality is on the increase. So this world is never going to get better. So if somebody then is empowering you to be able to make it in this world, he's deceiving you. It's a world that is doomed for destruction. We are being called to come out of this world and join the kingdom of God. The American said, and sorry, the brave, which here, almost a year, almost share a nipa day, almost in Yakova, some machine nipa day, the nipa, any after trapper, it was a VRC room. Because a VRC room in the Bible, you say a VRC room, a VRC, I say, a KAV, if she say, about some that Adam and Eve, Emma, Omkoya, but in the VRC, I say, if you ask you, and you have a baby, you. Yeah, change that one day everybody used to go up and say we are seeing now. The same thing happened in Noah's time. Noah was warning people the flood came. Sodom and Gomorrah it came. Our time it will come. It will happen. So all what Christ is telling us is to get out of this world and come into his kingdom. That is where there is safety. So here, let's now come to our message. I'm sure most of you have had friends who, or colleagues who only wanted your companionship or friendship when, as long as you have something to give them, like money or material possession. Whenever, as soon as such things are no longer there, they desert you. And that is the same way people behave towards God. When they need something, they come to God. As soon as God gives them, they forget about God. So they see God for what he can do for them and not what they can do for God. When God saves you, he saves you to help save others. You see, when God saves you, he saves you to help save others. So you come and then work for the Lord. So like the 5,000 followers, it is possible today that people follow Christ or go to church or appear to be followers of Christ because of what they want and not really to serve God. Instead, they may appear to see God, but in reality, they are coming for various temporary material possessions. Yesterday, I was at two functions. I was at a baby adoring ceremony, and I was also at a wedding in Tema. And in all these two places, the preachers never talked about salvation. Even when they were preaching to the new couple, sort of telling them to begin life with Christ, they were all over different things. And friends, it is very, very sad. Because people want faith and money. They won't tell you the truth. And the truth is that you are a sinner. You need to be redeemed from that state and to become like God. So those people, like those 5,000 followers, they were following Christ for food. And that's what people are doing to today. So this statement means that there is a wrongful and rightful way for following Christ and also a way to follow him. Why you should follow him and how you should follow him. And that's what we are going to talk about it today. Our motives for following Christ must be correct and genuine. We must not be like the 5,000 people who were following Christ because of the miracle they saw and the food they ate. There's one woman in the Bible who I admire so much, and that is Hannah. Hannah didn't have a child. His rivals were ridiculing her. But yet when he prayed to God for a child, he told God, if you give me the child, I will give the child back to you. But she wanted the child, not for herself, not to maybe let the other rabbi know that she too has got a child, but she said, I will give the child back to you. And truly, when he had Samuel, he sent Samuel straight to the church, to live in the church and to be trained to work for God. And that's how we must do. We don't come to Christ for only our personal gain, but we must come to Christ for the good reason. God knows our minds and our hearts. Let's be sincere. Whenever we come to him, he knows exactly what our motives are. In John chapter 2, verse 23, he said, that when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them. Why? Because he knew all men. And he did not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. So if you are seeking Christ and you're not seeking Him for the right purpose, He knows. He knows your heart. He knows what is in your mind. So I'm going to give you a few reasons, a few wrong reasons that people follow Christ for. And the first one is following Christ, as I've said, for material things. Normally, in gospel passages, we don't quote so many Bible passages, but for today, because I want to prove all what we say, I will be quoting scriptures to support whatever I say, whatever reason I give. The first reason that people give is for material things, to get material things. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, Christ said, "And He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses." You see, Christ is warning that our life is not based on the things that we possess. So if you take heed and be aware of covetousness, covetousness is wanting more and more and more. The American said, "As my can in the say, in better you share yes. Now I'm going to a pan passo. You were pampa and you were a pamboni. And you were pampa a passo. And you hear yes. In America say, the church a fine of us you hear yes. And yet, the edicans are all channel. They are paying in And I'm saying, Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Yes, a kind say, yes, share ye, beware of covetousness. Covetousness is a Viasimunema, who pay Viasinema. Unya way, now pay way, Unya way, now pay way. So you're very careful about those things. So some people, they see God alive for the Christmas, just following God because they believe that He can give them what they want. So He wants about the motivation to acquire riches. We are not saying that we should not aspire to be rich. No. But that is why Matthew says that seek God first. If you don't seek Him first, the riches will control you. If you seek Him first, you will control the riches. So that even though God can make you rich, you'll be able to control your riches if you have Christ in you. Without Christ in you, the riches will control you. That is why He wants us not to be covetous, but to seek for His kingdom first. Like I've already said, go to our prosperity preachers, and it's all about what you can make in this world. But Christ, it teaches that there's something more than those things that we seek for. That is why in the verse 27, it says, "Labor not for the meat that perishes." A real senior man said, "Who would have a brand new, nice car right now? In some few years' time, what you look at, any car idea. Go and buy this. Anything that you buy, some time ago, we used to have this kind of television. Now nobody uses them again. Computers. Everything is passing away. And if you follow it, you will be chasing money upon money upon money, and you forget about God. That was a seek first the kingdom of God. To labor not for the meat that perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life. Once you have life, you have everything. Seek for life, and the rest shall follow." It is important to realize that while even though we know that God is a God of provider, it is His right either to give us or not to give us, because He knows our heart. God can bless you so they can be a blessing to other people, even in riches. We know it is there. But then, God also knows the heart of every person. So some people seek Christ for material things. The second reason why some people seek Christ is for emotional experience. People seek Christ for emotional experience. John chapter 4, verse 23 talks about that. He said, "But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth." See, some people go to church because they want to have an emotional or some kind of high if they see God or to be entertained. Some people, when they come from church, they tell them, "How was church today?" Many people don't like this kind of churches. When they come and sit down and just speak to them, and then you sing hymns and you go. The one where they will be entertained, they will dance, and then go and tell people that today I had a very good experience at church. That is not why we come to Christ. We don't come to Christ to be entertained. We come to Christ to mourn. I've said it here before. I remember some time ago when in London, I went to a few churches. There's one church in Woolwich. And in that church, you enter the church through a cemetery. As you are entering the church, the entrance is a cemetery. So I asked the question, why is it like this? And the pastor told me, yes, this tells you about life. This is the end of life. So when you are coming here, you are not coming here to be detained. You are coming here to mourn of your sin and seek for God to forgive you and cleanse you and become his child. So we don't go to church to seek emotional experience. Some people think, oh, they have got the Holy Spirit, and they'll be jumping up and down, and they think that they have the Holy Spirit. No, the Holy Spirit is God himself, the third person of the Trinity, God of order. He won't come and be pushing you down and be doing some crazy things. So we don't go to church to seek for emotional experience. So in Matthew 13, verse 20, he said, "But he that received the seed into many places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiving." You see, when you hear the word of God, as we are telling you now, like I said, there's no miracle that can be compared to salvation. You hear it with joy, that even though we are fallen and we are in the hands of Satan, thanks to Christ, there's a way to come out of it. This will give you joy. It is not any other thing. The joy is the fact that you have come to be a child of God. You have access to God. You can ask God for everything. And he has said that if you ask me, I will give you. So God's word is the word that we receive with joy, not any other kind of entertainment. And knowing that you are with Christ and you are obeying his word, when there is trials, you know where to go to. When there are temptations, you know where to go to. Now, the next thing that people seek is also position, power, and recognition. I've often seen experience, and I've seen so many situations where people may appear to be interested in following God, but in reality, they do that, they have ulterior motive to gain various positions or power and influence even within the church so that they may fulfill their own personal agenda and not what God wants them to do. And if you want to, if you are seeking for God for that purpose, you can never find him, because God hates pride. God wants humility. When you come to church, sometimes you think of the person who cleans here for you to come and sit down. That person is as important as whoever stands here to preach. Everybody has a part to play. So people come to church and they want, I want to be the elder, I want to be the deacon, I want to be this, I want to be that. And that's why they come. They don't come that they will humble themselves before God for God to use them in the way that he wants. In Mark chapter 10, verse 43 to 45, Jesus said, "But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be a great among you shall be your minister," which means a servant. "And whosoever will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man," talking about Christ, "came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." You see why Christ came? He gave his life as a ransom for many. So if you are seeking him, and you are seeking him for reasons, for position, for power, and for recognition, you will never find him. Jesus himself did not come to be served, he said, but he came to serve and to fulfill the plan of the Father. See that he was God, the second person of the Trinity. He left his high office in heaven and came to dwell among sinful men. He actually became sin. Otherwise, why did they kill him? But he did all these things so that we will be saved from sin and from slavery. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8, he said, "I am the Lord, that is my name and my glory. I will not give it to another, neither my praise to graven images." So even if you don't have a position or any recognition in church, you are still a vessel of God. Anybody who has been saved, you are a vessel of God. That is why Peter said you are a kingdom of priests. You are a kingdom of priests. Priest in plural. Every believer, everybody who has been saved, you are like a priest. And that should gladden your heart. Then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father of him." So our duty as Christians is not to seek self-glory or the admiration of others. But whatever we do, we must give glory to God and praise him for what he has done for us. Some also seek him, as I've already said, for business for money and for profit. See, some people go to church and they think it's an opportunity to make business. We know what Christ said about this, and when he went to the temple and people were trading there. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 12 to 13, when he entered, he saw that people had set up businesses there. They were changing money. So they were using the temple for the purpose for which it was not set up, to make money. Then he said, and Jesus went to the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a house of death. Now go to so many churches, see the activities there. The prophets, or whatever they call them, their wives are selling things there. Some have some shops there, they are selling. There are banks there. Pure business that they are doing there. But Christ said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. It is not a house, a house of business. So we don't come to Christ for business or for money. The next thing people also seek Christ for, as I said, is for signs and wonders. People want signs and wonders. But what did Christ say in Matthew 6, verse 24? He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will have the one, he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold on to one and also despise the other. You cannot serve God and the mammon. So some people, when they come to church, like I was, if they don't see miracles being performed here, they are not happy. They think that we don't have the power of God. But friends, if anyone is sick among us, God says we can pray for that person. And if it's the will of God, the person will be healed. But we can't say we have the power to heal, so that no matter what it is, once we pray, the person must be healed. It can never be so. Because God can make somebody sick for a purpose. So we don't come to seek signs and wonders, as you are saying. But already, even that's what we are seeking for, the most miraculous sign we can see is a sign of conversion from a sinner to a saint. Let's read Matthew 12, verse 38-39. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we will see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign to the prophet Jonah. I've already said how Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. Christ was going to die for 3 days and come back to life and give us that same eternal life, to put down the power over life and give that life to us. So we come to God to seek eternal life, but not to seek for worldly things. So if people attempt to go to church because they want to see miracles, they must be very careful that they don't fall into the trap of the false prophet. Meka ekwa bebra nipa efa so ene hwe onyankopon. Butae ewo omodi so. Na bebre no omo hwe se ombehunu entenchene so beba aso dem bebi ebeka ne ho atemache no. Tebi awo there's a curse in the family, and if the curse is not broken, you can never make it in this world. Friends, Christ is the end of all curses. Christ is the end of all curses. Even if there's a family curse in your family, whatever, once you accept Christ, you are off that curse. You have come under Christ. Say, if you come and say, Wabusuyam, you are the Bibia Bomu Biafa, when you buy Yesu, Yesu Nadi. If you are both saying in a or in a Uchasso, say you are Bobu Biawa Bushanum Pa, when you are by Yusuwa, what free side would be a bonum Abba Yusu? In the Yahya Yusu, say a centenia obey a dear Ashanti. And I'll go on to our Obey Yusuwa, Obey Yusuwa, Nejuma Becosso, say obey your business, I, and the same thing, a Baba Yusu. If we are seeing the Madi Wakasa, you can go by him in the train, you can, or if you have a count. It is any here first. The old lady, the old lady, the old lady, the old lady, the. So these are some of the reasons why people come seeking for Christ, and it's the wrong reason. In Matthew 24, verse 24, it says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets who arise and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that it is, if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect." See, all these things have been said, that we will see so many signs and miracles. People will say that he is the Christ, he is this. Now people pray, and they pray as if they are the ones who should let the prayers be answered. They declare, "I declare, I command." Then you are Christ. If you are saying that, then you are Christ. And that is not how it is. Nobody can be like that. We are all under the mercy of God. Come out of this world and be under him, and he will guide you and protect you. So God wants us to seek him genuinely. He wants us to worship him truthfully and sincerely from our hearts. Now we'll go to five good reasons why we should also seek God. We have talked about the five wrongful ones. Now let's come to the rightful ones, why we should seek God. And the first one is because we love him. If you love somebody, you will do things that will please him. John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We should love him because he loved us first. He has laid down his life to save us from sin. And so we come to seek him so that we can love him. We don't come so that we can use him to get things out of this world. We come because of what he has already done for us. And then also because we want to serve him above all things. Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. Also, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? What can you gain in this world that can be compared to your life? Eternal life." So we don't come to God for any other thing. We come so that we can serve him. We must be saved. We must be cleansed from sins. And we must become saved before we can serve him. Another thing is also we come because we desire to learn from him. We come to learn because, you see, when we are saved, you see, we are being conformed into his image. We lost that image through the fall, and we are being given that image again. We are being transformed. So we come to God so that we desire to be like him. Of the 5,000 followers, many already decided no longer to follow Christ. When they came and Christ told them, many people decided not to follow him. And there are so many places in the Bible when people have come to Christ, and when Christ has told them that, "Me, I don't have anything," they didn't follow him again. In John chapter 6, verse 66 to 68, he said, "And after this, many of the disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you want to go away as well?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.'" You see, they have come to know God, so they said they would never leave him, but they didn't come for material things. If you came for material things, you can never walk with God. When he tells you who he is, you will go back. Then the next thing is that we also desire to obey him. You come to God, that God will enable you to obey him. In Luke chapter 6, verse 46 to 49, he said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and doeth them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house, who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it, because it has been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." You see, if you come to God, your desire must be that you be able to obey him, to do what God, and if you are like that, you are built on the foundation
The wise man built on the foundation, and the wise and the foolish man built his house on the sand. The next thing we want to follow Christ for is to glorify and praise him above everything. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. Say, whoever speaks as one who speaks of oracles of God, whosoever says as one who says that is sent that God supplies, in order that in everything God will be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. So you see, we want to glorify and praise God. You can never praise God in sin. You can sing all your heart, everything. If you are not cleansed from your sins, you are praising God from sin. And it will reach him. He will hear you. So if you want to glorify God, he will make you to be able to glorify him by giving your life to Christ, him changing you and making you a new creature. The next thing is because he is our Savior. He's our Lord and our Savior. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is salvation, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There can be no salvation apart from our Lord and Savior Jesus. So he is our Lord, he is our Savior. The next thing is also because he is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Whenever we go out on visitation and people ask a question, why is it only in Christ that people can go to heaven? This is where I quote. That is what he has said. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. No one. You can never go to the Father. You can't go to the Father through Muhammad. You can't go through Buddha. You can't go through any other religious leader. You can only go through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you come to him, that he will show you the way. He is the one who came to die to save us from our sins. And we seek him because he is the only one that can satisfy our every need. Every need, both spiritual and physical. And we sometimes hear from this word faith preachers that, you see, they preach as if God's mandate is to give us every spiritual need. We know God can give us. That is true. If you go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. You see, he has blessed us in Christ. He mentioned that in Christ, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whosoever believes in me shall never thirst. He's talking about his body. That is why when we have communion, we have the bread and the wine. Whoever gives your life to Christ, you are saved from everything. And he provides you with everything you need, both spiritually and then physically. The next thing is that because we would rather have Jesus and follow the law rather than to have the whole world give us. Romans 12, verse 1 to 2 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable to his will. So you see, you see for God that he will be, you'll be able to follow him and know him. The same thing is said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 26. For what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeits his life? Or what shall a man give in return for his life? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. You see, Christ is come. There will be judgment. He will come and judge us. The next thing that we should desire when we come to Christ is to yield to the teaching and direction of the Holy Spirit, so that we will be able to follow and genuinely obey God in our life. That is also found in John 16, verse 8 to 15. I just read a few to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world. That is when the Holy Spirit comes. The world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment concerning sin, because he did not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth cometh, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that is to come. He said, he will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it unto you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said, he will give you what is mine. Friends, do you want to be a follower of Christ? Do you really, sincerely want to follow him and become like him with assurance of eternal life? Or you want to use Christ to make your life better in this world? Think of it. Because he did not come for that purpose. The purpose for which he came is to give you eternal life. And once you have eternal life, all other things will be available to you. Because he said, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. This morning, my plea to you is to come sincerely to Christ. If you have not come to give your life to him sincerely, let this last day of the year be that day when you come to Christ, commit your life to him, confess your sins to him, and tell him. You have to acknowledge him. How? In Romans chapter 3 verse 22, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. This means that we have all broken God's laws. No one in this world can say that I can fully obey the laws of God. In Exodus chapter 20 verse 1 to 17, all the laws are there, and we know that no one, no human being can obey all the laws. So come sincerely, tell him that you are a sinner and you want him to help you to be liberated from that sin and to be able to save you. You also have to repent. Without repentance, no one can see the Lord. When he came into this world, the first preaching, Christ talked about repentance. In Luke chapter 13, he says, unless you repent, you all likewise will perish. Repent therefore and be converted, in Acts chapter 3 verse 19, that your sins may be blotted out. What does it mean to repent? It's to change your mind. A sincere turning away in heart and mind and action. Turning away from where you have been heading to a new place. That's what we call repentance. You turn from where you are going. Then you confess your sins to him. He said, if you confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He said, if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So friends, our subject this morning has been very interesting. Why do you seek Christ? Do you seek Christ for all the reasons that we have mentioned? Or to seek him, to have a change of life, a change of personality, and to become a real child of God, with assurance that you have eternal life when this world ends. If that is your will, I urge you this morning, take that eternal decision now. Let me end with John chapter 1 verse 11. He said, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and as your Lord, right where you are, commit your life to him now. Ask him to come into your life to change you as we enter into a new world, to give you a new heart, to become a new creature. And then he will be with you, he will guide you, he will direct you with the hope of eternal life.